Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church, our live streaming service on this Palm Sunday today. Would that we could be here waving palms, but we can't. However, we all have, as one colleague in ministry once told me, we all have a palm and we can wave it, so sometime today wave to one of your neighbors, and not only will it be a friendly greeting, it'll be a waving of the palms on Palm Sunday. We have a few announcements before we start this morning. First, Lynn Meyer has played some music that we taped this week and is now on our website, so you can listen to that and for your own spiritual uplifting and personal enjoyment. I want to also say that later this week we will have Easter music put up by Lynn, so we'll have some wonderful Easter music on the organ for you to listen to this week, and particularly this coming Easter. This is Holy Week, and we have some events despite what's going on in the world these days. This Thursday is Maundy Thursday, and we're going to have a Maundy Thursday Agape Meal. And information about that and a script for the Agape Meal for each of us to do in our own homes was in the Advocate that was sent out this past week. Good Friday, traditionally in this town, is a community service, and of course we won't be having a community service, but the Westerville Area Ministerial Association will be having a community live stream service. Pastor Yvette Watt of the Church of the Messiah will preach for us at noon on Good Friday, this coming Friday, and you can reach that by logging on to the Westerville WAMA Facebook page. The flowers this morning are in honor of Betty Gillum's 85th birthday, given by the Moons and the Braskets, and we celebrate with Betty and wish her well on her birthday. Do want to note that following the benediction today, we'll break for a minute or two as we set up for the Especially for Children, so we will have an Especially for Children this morning right after the benediction of our service today. Let us begin this morning, remembering that it is Palm Sunday, by reading out of Mark, Mark's version of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord has need of it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. And when they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. And then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." As they entered Jerusalem, they went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Here ends our reading. Thanks be to God. For our opening prayer today, reading a prayer that I read last Sunday to open the service, it's a prayer that was written by the Ministerial Association of Westerville at the request of the City of Westerville, and asked that it be read both last Sunday and this Sunday, that this prayer would be prayed. And so I pray again this prayer written by Vaughn Bell of the Triumphant Church of God and President of the Ministerial Association, and Father Joseph Kovich from St. Matthew's Episcopal Church. Let us pray. Eternal and merciful God, we give you thanks for the love and grace that you have extended to us in the midst of a time of confusion, anxiety, fear, and sickness. We pray for our beloved community of Westerville and all the communities around the world, that they would be places filled with hope, where love and compassion are experienced by all. We pray that our community would be marked by selfless acts of generosity to meet the needs of others, where there is no hierarchy of human value and the peace of God reigns. We pray for the safety and well-being of our healthcare professionals, first responders, and volunteers who are caring for the sick and the most vulnerable among us. We are united to the nurses, doctors, aides, and first responders who not only stand on the front lines of this virus, but also worry and care for their own mothers, fathers, children, and friends. We ask that our leaders would be guided by wisdom and hearts of understanding for those whom they serve. For such a time as this, we are so much more aware of what unites us than what divides us. We are a common humanity seeking a higher love, doing our best to stay healthy for those around us. We pray that we would recognize this time of crisis as an opportunity for our community to come together and to model courage, compassion, and love for all. You, God of the universe, are the higher love that animates and inspires all the small acts of kindness and quiet moments of love that give witness to the best of who we are. Bless our community and bind us together in bands of love that no virus can infect. We are better human beings when we watch out for one another. At times like this, we realize that each person around the world is united in love for family, life, and hope. Let Westerville reflect the healing hope that we long for and make us more united and stronger when we overcome this present crisis through your divine strength and guidance. In your name we pray, amen. Our scripture lesson, our second scripture lesson this morning, is from Mark 15. But before I read it, I need to adjust the sound system, so give me a pause. Excuse the interruption. Some adjustments to the sound system, and that should help. Reading now from Mark chapter 15, starting at the 25th verse. In the time of the calendar of the church, Palm Sunday is also Passion Sunday. And we move from the waving of palms to the Passion of Jesus. And this passage here in Mark, it comes right in the middle of the Passion. Jesus has had his Last Supper with his disciples. He has prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He has been arrested, been tried on trumped up charges, and now he has been beaten by the guards, and now he is going to be crucified. Listen now as I read these words. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, King of the Jews. And when they crucified, and with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man is God's son." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and Joseph and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. Here ends our lesson. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the words that come out of Scripture. Help us to hold on to these precious words. And by your Spirit this morning, help us to find meaning in them. Amen. Kathy and I walk. And it's a good thing that we like to walk and we do it regularly, because that's about all we can do right now, isn't it? In these days of stay-at-home orders. When we can, we go to one of the local metro parks, but usually we walk our neighborhood park. And it has become more than just a neighborhood park. It's become a neighborly park. As we walk, we pass strangers and smile at them, maybe exchange a word of greeting, and then pass each other, keeping our respectful 6 feet away. Often we meet someone we know, even friends from time to time. With these people, we might stop and talk, again, keeping a healthy distance away. It is the closest we can get to normal social contact with others, other than being conscious of how far away we are from each other. It almost seems like a regular conversation. We'll chat about the things we normally would chat about: the weather, the kids, the pets, that sort of thing. And of course, we'll talk about the shelter at home order and how we are all trying to survive it. And then there was the conversation that Kathy and I had with a neighbor this past week. This neighbor we knew well, as her kids are about the same age as our children. And so when we see this neighbor, greetings are friendly, and we know a bit about each other and about each other's families. And as would be expected, when we spotted this neighbor on the path, we stopped and greeted each other and asked how each other was doing. We said that we were coping, which is kind of the standard response. But this woman's response was not the standard response. She told us that her husband's sister had just died of COVID-19. And in that moment, for me at least, all this became that much more real. I know that tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people and more, have contracted this disease. Tens of thousands of people have died of it across the world. Thousands have died in the United States. I know that the number of people who have died in Ohio passed 100, but these are all statistics to me, or they were. But then, right then, standing on that path in Metzger Park, these statistics suddenly became real. For standing in front of us was a woman whose husband had lost a sister to the disease. If we follow the predictions, we are all likely to know someone who will have a close relative die of COVID-19. Even the optimistic predictions say that a huge number of people in the United States will die, which means that we will all be touched by it. Some of us directly, some of us with a close friend or family member directly connected. But until this week, such statistics, such thoughts were just abstract in my mind. Something for the evening news. For me, the effects of the virus were closed restaurants and forced isolation, but this virus is more than an inconvenience. It does kill people. And I stood on the path in a local park watching someone grieve because of this virus. The natural instinct was to go up and hug that person. But we are at a time when there is no hugging. And so we stood there and said how sorry we were and shed our tears with her. This is Palm Sunday. Today we mark the triumphal march of Jesus into Jerusalem. We wave palms and shout Hosanna. On a normal Palm Sunday, there would be a festive atmosphere here in this church, and we would be discussing our plans for Easter. And that's how it normally is, isn't it? For most of us, we go straight from Palm Sunday to Easter, and we skip all that messy part in between. We skip over that messy part where Jesus is arrested and put on trial and beaten and eventually crucified. Instead, we come and celebrate Palm Sunday, and then a week later we come and celebrate Easter Sunday. We go from palm branches to Easter lily, and we miss Good Friday in the process. But this year is different. This year, the palms, if you have one at all, is probably a picture drawn on paper. This year, the lilies will be nice to look at through a video screen. This year, the news is grim with stories of laid-off workers and closed businesses and daily statistics. And the news that someone we know has lost a loved one. This year, Good Friday cannot be avoided because we are living it. But then when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, he knew where he was headed. He knew that this was to be the climactic week of his ministry. He knew that what was to begin with palms would end with a cross. When I look at Holy Week from the perspective of disciples, I can't but help sense a parallel to us today. Disciples follow Jesus into Jerusalem with all the excitement of a kid watching a parade, and they have no idea what is going to happen. And then within the span of a few days, their world is turned upside down. Jesus is arrested, and they are scattered, left hiding in the dark and wondering what is going to happen next. And what does happen next is terrible. Recorded in excruciating detail in all four Gospels, and yet Mark paints the starkest picture of them all. It is painful to hear these words, to read this account, and so it is no wonder that we are apt to skip over these parts on any normal year. and get to the more uplifting parts of the story. But we are now living in the messy parts of the story, and in so doing, we realize that Good Friday is not to be skipped over. It is to be remembered and perhaps even valued. The central image of Christianity is the cross. And in Good Friday, we have the cross. We have the reality that the cross was an instrument of death. It was intended to cause suffering of both body and mind. It was meant to humiliate and intimidate. It was meant to create a spiritual God-forsakenness that causes one to cry out like Jesus did, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet the reality of the cross is that God has not forsaken us. It is because Jesus suffered on the cross that we can be sure that God is present even in the midst of our suffering. At the moment Jesus uttered those words, the evidence of God's activity was still present. The sky darkened, the temple cloth was torn in two. And even the centurion standing there says, truly, this was God's Son. It is in the midst of darkness and even death that God is revealed. Jewish writer Elie Wiesel, who survived internment camps during World War II, tells the story of how he saw cruelty and death on a daily basis, and yet he did not lose his faith in God. One time, when he was forced to watch the execution of a fellow prisoner, the guard taunted him by saying, where is your God now? To which Wiesel replied, right there on the gallows, that's where God is. Good Friday reminds us that there is nowhere that our God does not go. No place where God is not present, even in the worst of circumstances, even in the midst of disease and pestilence and murder and famine and cruelty and despair, and even in the midst of death, God is there redeeming it. There is in Jesus' death the assurance of life. There is in the cross the promise of love. Lutheran pastor Natalie Bose Weber holds her church's Good Friday service outside the church building each year. They pick a place in her home city of Denver where there has been a terrible tragedy sometime during the past year, a site where there has been a murder or maybe a house where several people died in a fire. And there at that dismal place, she and her congregants hold their Good Friday service as a way of declaring that God is present even in the worst of tragedies. God is more present in these tragedies, they declare. God is at work redeeming the sadness and the misery and opening the door for the good to arise. I was wondering where Reverend Bowles Weber's church will hold their Good Friday service this year, probably on the internet, like all of the rest of us are. And yet maybe that's appropriate, for the internet is worldwide, and the whole world needs the assurance of God's redeeming love now. And so we will walk through Good Friday a lot longer, I'm afraid. But what lies beyond Good Friday is what is promised to us. Easter may not look the same for us there this year, but it will carry an even more powerful message that the power of God cannot be defeated and that the love of God cannot be contained. We who are shouting Hosanna today will indeed shout Alleluia next Sunday, even if we have to walk through Good Friday to get there. Or maybe because we are walking through Good Friday to get there. Amen. I want to share with you, as we come to a time of prayer, some of the prayer concerns that have been shared with me. We want to pray for Beth Drislane, who is at the Ohio State Hospitals. We want to offer prayers for Bob Smith, who is at St. Anne's Hospital. Bev Etling asked for prayers of concern for her daughter-in-law in Seattle and her son. Son and daughter-in-law in Seattle. Her son thinks he likely got the virus 5 weeks ago, but was not tested. He is well now. But her daughter-in-law is an orthopedic nurse who's been pulled off to work with coronavirus patients. They do say that she does have complete personal protection equipment. Bev also wants to share a joy that her niece, Jennifer Brown, who's in the Air Force, but home on leave from Turkey, is getting married today. And so we celebrate with them. Also to celebrate in marriage, Dorothy Driscoll and Alvin Lee will be getting married in a private ceremony this week. They plan to have a public celebration of their marriage coming in the fall. We want to remember all those who have lost their livelihood or are worried about losing their jobs or livelihood because of this pandemic. We also want to remember several of our members who work in riskier settings right now, grocery stores and other retail stores, hospitals, clinics, nursing homes. So there's a lot within our own congregation who are taking risks for the good of the community, and we want to hold them in our prayers. Let us pray together. God, who knows the troubles in every human heart, God, who calms the storms without and within, God, who gazes on this blue-green planet with boundless compassion, we pray to you. Holy One, we are all a bit brittle right now. You know this, of course. You watch us as we ping-pong between anxiety and frustration. You see exhausted nurses and doctors and the never-ending stream of patients. You see those who are sick. You see those who worry over their work and their finances. In all this, you don't see numbers, do you, God? We can't imagine you staring at a statistical chart. You see us as you've always seen. You see our faces. You know our stories. You see the little dramas and the not-so-little dramas that we are engaged in. And we know that you redeem us. Save us in this perilous moment, O God. O God, we are bold to ask this because seeing you and praying to you helps us. It helps us not to swirl around in the drain of fear. It helps us to step back from the patterns of self-pity or blame. It helps us all to step up. Grace us with your face, O God. Grant us the tools that we need in this hour. Grant us the wisdom we need to make smart choices. Give us the stamina we need when we grow tired and edgy. Give us consolation when sadness and fear grip us. Give us healing when we are sick. Give us uncommon courage and deep reserves of grace for the living of these days. All this we pray, trusting in the One who came offering wisdom, bestowing calm, healing the sick, lifting up the brokenhearted, the One who replaced fear with love. Jesus the Christ, our rock and our Redeemer, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we go into this holy week, may you be blessed by the love and care and compassion of Jesus. May you see in the world the face of Christ in both friend and stranger. May you come to know
the peace that Christ offers. And may you come together with us next Easter, whether in spirit or in body, that we come and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Amen and peace.